And this is WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And the next show will be up in a few seconds. Bye-bye.
Pop quiz, which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Yo, what up? Yo, this is Ghostface. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5. Y'all know what it is. One. We're coke and the dollar bill stems and crack
capsules. Take a blast. Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, in.
Hello, Medford. The return of time travel is now. 4 to 7 p.m. My name is Chris Earle. Today is a tribute to my grandmother. Taking requests for people you love.
Chris, it's Nan. Thanks for thinking about me. Happy Valentine's Day. It's nice and warm here. Not as hot as usual. And I went out and planted a yellow bush. Have a good night. Happy Valentine's Day to Rachel.
Nothing to stop this being the best day ever. Nothing to keep us from where we should be. I wanted the world, but you knew better. Baby cries on a doorstep. Love is all we have left. Love and love is all we have left. You argue 'cause you can't accept. Love is all.
leads to an end. Yes, every road leads to an end. Your apparition passes through me in the willows and five red hens. You'll never see us again. You'll never see us again.
I'm going to read you a little story about my sister Sally's childhood. It was written by Nanny's sister, Ethel, on Sally's 80th birthday party at the VFW in North Dighton. She was born at Mount Hope Hospital in North Dighton, which is no longer there, on June 27th, 1926, or was it the 28th? We believe it was the 28th, which is today. My mother said it was a late at night, so she was confused. I'm still not sure. Her birth certificate said her name was Sarah. Sally didn't like her name, so when she was older, she had it changed to Sally without the help of a lawyer, which would cost plenty of money nowadays. Harry and Maude were the parents. They were Ma and Daddy to us. Daddy was deaf, so Ma was the boss, and everybody sure knew it. They were a couple of great parents. We lived in a three-decker house on Railroad Avenue in Taunton, near the North Dighton line. We called the kids that lived there the Dighton Bums. Little did we know it that someday we would be the Dighton Bums, too. The first floor was rented, so we lived on the second and third floors. Sally and I shared a bedroom on the third floor. We also shared a bed, and we slept together until we were married. We shared a bureau and a closet, but there was no problem, because we didn't have many clothes in it to hang. Sally was the third child. There was Alvin, Ethel, then Sally, Harry Jr., and Billy. If we were poor, we didn't know it. Maybe we did when our father stuffed the cardboard into our shoes to cover the holes in the soles. And again when Aunt Polly sent packages of used clothes to the girls, which we always fought over. Sally, I should have taken those black patent leather shoes. I've had corns ever since. These are the special memories of our past times. Lawn parties at the Methodist Church. Swimming in the Taunton River. It had to be at high tide because it was too full of sewerage at low tide. They used to say that at high tide the water came up from Fall River and it was salty. I don't think so. Picking vegetables on the local farms to earn money. We played baseball with one ball, two bats, and maybe three gloves. Sally was a great athlete. She was always first pick. I was always last. We smoked corn silk. We played in the Taunton Girls Scouts band. I played the drums and Sally played the bugle. Sitting on Eddie the Milkman's family porch with all the kids in the neighborhood and us singing songs. We played games like Kick the Can, Red Rover, Won't You Come Over, Marbles, and How Can We Forget, Buck Buck, How Many Fingers Have You Got Up, which was a very interesting game. And we went to the Herbert E. Barney School. There were four rooms and eight grades, and everybody knew everybody. Times change. Sally now goes to Florida and swims in the real salt water. She needs three closets to hang up her clothes. But we still sleep together. After a day's visit to Cape Cod, the Christmas tree shop, lunch, and a couple of drinks, we'll watch TV with Buck, and after a while, Buck will go to bed. Sally sleeps on the couch and I sleep in a chair. You've come a long way, sister. Happy birthday.
just want to thank you all again for coming out here today, both friends and family. I know some people have traveled far for this. I'm sure Nan would have appreciated it just as much as I do. Nan was awesome. So come on, let's face it. All of us, she was awesome. Ever since Saturday, I've been thinking about what I wanted to say about Nan for today on what would have been her 91st birthday. And the thing that always came back to my mind these past few days was another three-letter word for Nan, which was fun. Nan was fun. So that's what I'm hoping to do for you here today, offer you a little slice of what Nan did for me and for many of you almost every single time you saw her or you spoke with her on the phone. She made our lives more fun. She showed interest, she made things better, and she made a difference. She taught us first round of grandkids how to have fun. There were nine of us: Russell, Eric, Jason, myself, Joel, Jared, Georgie, Kyle, and Daryl. Nine boys, all of them very different, but all commonly full of youth, energy, excitement, dreams, wonder, and a never-ending desire to not take any naps before it was bedtime. We all wanted to have fun, and when it came down to Nan and Gramps, we wanted to see and do it all. And over the years, Nan delivered it in spades. We each took turns going camping with our grandparents, went all over the place. Nan would make us doggy bags with snacks that were hiding in the cabinets in the kitchen. We could pick out our own snacks. We'd sleep up in the attic and we'd play war, throwing bedpost pineapples like they were grenades, and then dive into cushions and blankets we set up. And then Gramp would show us his four-fingered hand from the war and we'd all freak out. We caught fireflies and tadpoles in the backyard. We'd have random weekend cookouts with all the family. And we'd even pitch tents and look up at the stars some nights with extended family like my uncle. We'd all go to the Aggie school to see the animals like the turkeys, the chickens, the pigs, the cows, the horses, and surrounding them and all, an occasional red fox that was looking to eat any and all of the animals that we liked. We'd all hold hands. All the boys would hold hands and we'd grab the electric fence and shock each other holding hands, and then Nan would holler at us. I said all nine of us were boys, but I didn't say we were particularly smart boys at the time. We'd sometimes just take a walk down the railroad tracks after a giant meal, or we'd go on a long hike in those Thanksgiving afternoons long ago. And those Thanksgivings were very special to us. Every holiday was special to Nan, but Thanksgiving was the big one. They were amazing. Our family would have the largest dessert table you've ever been to. And believe me, I've seen a few dessert tables over time. Oz was and still is the best. It was and it still is a favorite holiday for many in our family due to the great turnout we'd have every year. Everyone was welcome and many people traveled far to be there, including extended family as well as friends. Everyone was welcome. In the 70s and 80s, Dandy taught us how to make gardens. She taught us not to get her pet dog, she taught us not to pet her dog Biffy when he was growling, or to go near Grandpa after he ate an onion and pepper pizza. You'd have to wait for a few minutes and just not hug him too tight when you did, or he might let out a little gas. So while we're on that subject, she also taught her grandsons the difference between what was a number one and a number two, and had us yell it out from the bathroom so we'd have to wait and learn some patience. When we were acting up, she'd put up her hand and she'd say, "Do you see this? Do you see this?" And then later, when you acted up again, all she did was raise her hand. Didn't say anything. And you knew I had to shut the hell up. For the rap kid, I never got this. I'm sure Russell did. Georgie might have, but I never got it. All through school and adulthood, every close friend I had who met Nan would be greeted with a smile, and she'd say, "Oh, you're Chris's friend. Just call me Nan." She loved being Nan. We'd sit and we'd look out the windows in the morning as we had breakfast, And she'd smile when a robin came to the bird feeder outside, and she'd get mad when another damn blue jay would come and eat all the food on all the other birds. Although she never actually owned one, she always seemed to have a random cat that would just wander by over the years. She'd feed the strays, and they'd never leave. She named one slick, beautiful cat Black Cat, Meow. And then after Meow had died, a really scruffy-looking tomcat that was on his last days wandered off the highway and hung out under a garage. She eventually fed it. I wanted to call him Meow too, but Nan said, "That's Meow." That one's still at the house today, so she nursed him back to health. He still doesn't come inside the house. It takes a lot to have him allow you to pet him, but he's there. It's almost like he's watching out for Nan, scouting the yard for anyone coming by to see her and letting you know when you do. He's got an eye on you. In the 2000s, I'd visit her and her new partner and fun Bill in Florida. We'd comb the beaches, we'd sing karaoke, we'd play golf, we'd watch a lot of classic TV, and we'd go to flea markets and dog racing. One day we spent about 6 hours on a rainy day squeezing oranges that fell in the yard to make juice. And you know what? It was the best juice I've ever had to this day. One day I decided to go for a 4 or 5 mile walk through the orange groves to get some exercise. About 45 minutes in, Nan came barrel-assing by in her golf cart, telling me to hurry up so we can go eat. So I jumped in the cart, and we went to eat, and then we had beers, and then we had bingo with her friends. Then we swam the next day. I'm exhausted even talking about it. And she was 89 at the time. She had this wonderful raspy laugh that was full of joy. Sometimes, though, I'd swear I'd hear a little bit of sadness under it for all the other family members or friends who she either lost or just weren't here to share in the good time we were having. And although Nanny did go through a large amount of heartache and tragedy herself for her long life, she almost never complained. It was very rare. And when she did, it wasn't for long. She moved forward. She was thankful for what time she'd spent with people and the small blessings that she did have remaining. Plus, what little she had, she always shared. Her kindness and her generosity were amazing. They set the bar high. It's now our job to be as amazing and as kind and as fun as her. That's what I take away from this. I'm 45 and I've lived half the life she did. Some people say, oh, 90 is such a good life. But you know who doesn't say that? It's the person who's still 90, who's healthy and wanting to live more. I wanted to see her make it to 100, like my great-grandpa Baxter Green, but in the end, she got sick and the cancer took over. She weighed so little when she died, and she was so sad and scared when I talked to her these past few months. But Nanny being Nanny, we still had a few smiles. I held up her little frame a few weeks ago to adjust her, and she wrapped her arms around me, and I went to put her back down on the couch, and she said, no, wait a minute. I think I'll stand for a minute with you, okay, Kristen? So we stood there. I hugged her for a few minutes. And then I put her back on the couch. It was another instant memory I'm going to take with me for a long time to come. I then asked her what her favorite shell was in the room. She had shells everywhere. She said she liked all of them. They were all her favorite. Well, she was mine. Nan was my favorite person. Up until Saturday, she was in all 45 years of my life. And the past few days have been oddly still and empty. Unsettling. It's like just knowing she's not around has made the world a darker place for me. Nan was looking out the window at the birdhouse when she died. I was talking to Kyle and Georgie in the driveway after, and it hit me. That we hadn't seen any birds in a few days. Like none. Not even a goddamn blue jay. But he'll be back. And I think they're bringing Nanny where she needs to go, and they'll be back. I guess what I'm trying to take from this is that on an early Saturday morning, I didn't lose my grandmother. She's still here. She's in our stories. And she's in our thoughts and our memories. All that happened Saturday morning is that heaven got a whole lot kinder and a whole lot more fun. Happy 91st birthday, Nanny. You are the best grandmother a kid could ask for. And a great friend to me as an adult. Thank you very much.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. When darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. I will lay me down. silver girl. Sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine.
Notorious, they got to know that life ain't always what it seemed to be. Words can't express what you mean to me. Even though you're gone, we still a team. Through your family, I'll fulfill your dreams. In the future, can't wait to see if you open up the gates for me. Reminisce sometime, the night they took my friend. Try to black it out, but it plays again. When it's real, feeling's hard to conceal. Can't imagine all the pain I feel. Give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your life after death. Us while we pray for you. Every day we pray for you. Till the day we meet again. In my heart is where I keep it, friend. Memories give me the strength I need to proceed. Strength I need to believe. My thoughts big, I just can't define. Wish I could turn back the hands of time. Us in the six, shop for new clothes and kicks. You and me taking flicks, making hits. Stages they receive you on. Still can't believe you're gone. Give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your life after death.
Yeah. listening to WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford, Massachusetts, a show called Time Travel with Chris Earle. Thanks for listening.
Oh,
All right, there's Elvis Presley and the Philharmonic Orchestra with The Wonder of You. They came out with an album a couple of years ago. They took the old Elvis Presley tracks, and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra added their own little tracks to it, and it's a pretty beautiful album. So today what I'm doing is time travel in the big 80s. We'll probably be back next week. We'll see what we do there. But today was the anniversary of my grandmother's passing a year ago, and she was my favorite person. You get to hear my eulogy in there, at least the before the day before I read it to everybody. That was my little practice run to see how it sounded. Anyway, so that was in there. And thinking about my grandmother today, the original Memphis Five was in there with Fireworks from the 20s. And she was born in 1926. And unfortunately, we had her funeral on her 91st birthday last year. I miss her, you know, Buff Daddy and Faith Evans in there with I'll Be Missing You, Johnny Cash, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles, 80th Birthday Message written by my Aunt Ethel for Nan, which I also read at the eulogy, which was read at the 80th birthday for my Nan a number of years ago by my aunt, who passed away a couple of years after that, and I miss her very much. Sufjan Stevens, I believe he is, with Death with Dignity. You Too, Love Is All That We Have Left. We actually had a Valentine's call from my Nan that I still have on my phone. And the Talking Heads starting us off with something that time travel listeners are familiar with. Thank you for sending me an angel. And I love that song, and that's the live version of it from Stop Making Sense. And one of the things I love about it is it sounds just like a lot of nonsense, but it's pretty much a parent looking at this new baby and worrying about how the baby's going to be, but also kind of a little braggadocio there, just kind of like, hey, look at me, you're going to be better than me. You got to be better than me, and this is kind of the way that the parent's going to protect the kid, get him excited about the world. And I just felt that was something that was familiar with the relationship that I had with my grandmother. She always made it fun, and she's just a great lady all around, and I miss her very much. So today, I'm going to be here till 7 now. I was going to do 4 to 6, but Marshall's going to be back next week, so I'm going to take his hour and stick with you until 7. So I'm going to take some requests, too. Is there somebody you miss? 855-915-WMFO if you'd like to hear a song. And I wouldn't consider this a sad time travel. It's more of a loving time travel, I guess. You know, I really miss her, and you know, she taught me a lot, and this last year was really tough, and it was not only because of the passing of her, but you know, you see people fade in and out of life, and that seems to be part of it. And you know, I also have some new people in life, and I'm really happy about that. I liked it. I looked at a photo of her and myself, and she's pretty much my age, and I'm sitting there down the Cape, and she's toweling me off, and got a big drink next to her, and I remember her running after me while I was running naked all around the yard like it was yesterday, you know, just a little baby running around. And, you know, I got two little niece and nephew in life now, and, you know, I think the same thing. You know, you protect them, you make the world look fun for them, and I really think that the kids are the best thing in the world. The innocence of kids, and unfortunately you get a little older as you grow up, and you get a little more jaded, you know, you become a victim of other people around you, and also the sins, you know, greed especially, I think, is a big killer. But I also think later on in life, you know, older people have wisdom, and I think they really come to the point where, you know what, this is what it is, and they get comfortable with themselves, and you know what, they're there to dispense the knowledge to the people that are willing to listen. So anyway, my name's Chris Earle. I'm here with you till 7 p.m. A little sad today, but for the most part, you know, this is a celebration of life and a celebration of friendships. And I got some other songs here along the way. I got a bunch of stuff from the 40s that Nan liked. And I'm going to jump around a little bit as we did on time travel in the past. I was planning to retire the show, but you know what? This came up, and I'm like, this is a great opportunity for something special today. So I hope you guys like this show, and I'm going to be here with you until 7 p.m. Again, 855-915-WMFO if you want to call in and make a request. Here is Coldplay and the Chain Smokers with Something Just Like This.
I've been reading books of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Achilles and his gifts, and Spider-Man's control, and Batman with his fist. And clearly I don't see myself upon that list. But she said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss. I want something just like this. Do 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 do.
Close your eyes and imagine you're beside a pure mountain stream, the water cascading over the stones. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally with people like you to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. Nature.org.
Falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile. You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts, take me to your dreams. Touch me as I fall into view. And I will be right next to you. Engine driver's headed north to Pleasant Stream. Keep me in your heart for a while. These wheels keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while.